This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest this time, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, always great to have you with us.
Always great to be here.
Let's start where we often start, and that's the health care debate. The president now saying he wants this done by March 18th, certainly by Easter. He says he wants the House to pass the Senate version, and then he says a simple majority on any legislation needing to win over some of those votes needed to pass this in the House. What's your best guess now, John? Will this Senate bill pass the House?
No, it will not. And simple mathematics should explain it. In the House, it passed by 220 to 215 in November. Three of the Democrats who voted for it then are now out of Congress. There are three Democratic vacancies, and that lowers the threshold. In addition, the whole concept of the House passing the Senate version of health care is flawed because the Senate version does not include the Stupak-Pitts Amendment, which was a restriction on tax dollars for abortions in medical care. Congressman Bart Stupak of Michigan said this week that he and 11 other Democrats would not vote for any bill that does not contain pro-life language. And already Joseph Cow, the lone Republican to vote for it, has said he will not vote for this measure because it lacks the pro-life language. Overall, we're seeing Republicans pressing the 39 Democrats in the House who voted against it to stay firm. All of them, or most of them, come from marginal districts. And if nothing passes, they have to go home, face the voters, and smell the aroma of tea in the background. My guess is there will be no vote on it by Easter. And if that's the case, it's dead on arrival for the rest of the year.
Well, John, given some vacancies, well, what we're told is it's going to take 216 votes to pass this thing. You mentioned that there are 12 Democrats who voted for it who may vote against it now because of the abortion language.
Congressman Stupak said that.
Exactly. Plus one Republican. So that's 13 that will swing the other way. The Democrats say they have 10 who voted against it who would vote for it. Do you think Nancy Pelosi is going to be able to find those other two? Apparently you don't, but why don't you think so?
I think because enough of them are seeing the poll numbers that continually go against a package like this, and the movement for the Congress to start over again on health care. If they were simply to do that, the president might have a chance of passage. But at this point, he's certainly doing nothing to win over Republicans, and he also realizes if this passes, it will be strictly along partisan lines. Well, that wasn't what he was elected on. Then again, Senator Obama in 2005 spoke out against reconciliation on measures other than budgetary and tax matters, and quite forcefully. President Obama has no problem with reconciliation on a revolutionary measure that would entail 16% of the economy.
John, let's talk about another major issue on Capitol Hill this week, and that's the change at the top of the House Ways and Means Committee, one of the most powerful committees in Congress. It's in charge of writing tax law. Charlie Rangel has been in Congress for almost 40 years, finally deciding to step down. He says temporarily. Republicans say there is no such thing as temporarily stepping down. What do you make of the fact that he's now gone, and then there was another shuffle today, Levin in, Stark out?
Wow, where do we start on this? Congressman John Carter of Texas made that point very forcefully about no such thing as deciding temporarily to take a leave and resuming it. When you're out as chairman, that's it. And I tend to agree with him. I reported on Congressman Dan Rostenkowski, the Ways and Means Committee chairman, who stepped down when he had ethics charges against him and never returned as chairman. That was 16 years ago. Congressman Rangel has his problems. At a time when the House Ethics Committee let go seven members regarding trips and disclosure of what they were getting when they went on these trips, Mr. Rangel is in a lot more trouble. He's already been cited by the committee, and then there's the matter of being delinquent on taxes for a number of years and not disclosing buildings that he owned on his tax forms. My guess is Congressman Rangel will leave the committee and eventually say he's not running. He faces a primary from the son of the man he unseated in 1970, state legislator Adam Clayton Powell IV. In terms of passing over Pete Stark, look, Everyone knows on Capitol Hill that even members of his own party can't stand the gentleman from California. Starr can be obnoxious, self-important, very much everything people don't like about rich elitist Democrats. That and some of his religious views, I think, were decided as being over the top for the chairman of the committee that writes the U.S. tax code. So he was passed over in favor of a much liked figure, Congressman Sander Levin of Michigan, brother of Senator Carl Levin, and that makes the Levin brothers the most powerful familial team to serve in the Congress in memory.
And so, smart move by Pelosi to skip over Stark?
Absolutely. Stark would have to appear on TV with the letter D under his name, and I don't think she wanted that in an election year.
John, let's move from one huge state of California to the other, that being New York. A surprise retirement announcement after just one term, Democrat Eric Massa. He says he's been re-diagnosed with cancer. It's come back. Others say there's a sex scandal about to burst here.
Well, it could be both. The freshman congressman, who's a 20-year Navy veteran, married and a father of two, does suffer from non-Hodgkin's-related lymphoma. There are the charges against him from male staffers, and all of this will play out. In the meantime, he chose the better part of valor and opted out. This was a district that's been Republican far longer than it's been Democratic. It was the seat, among others, of Charles Goodell, who later became a U.S. senator, and whose son Roger is head of the NFL. My guess is it will fall back into the Republican column. As for David Patterson, I saw the governor when I saw the other governors at the White House, and we discussed his father, the first black to be on a statewide ticket in the Empire State. A few days later, Mr. Patterson, the first African-American governor of New York, said he wouldn't run for another term. Attorney General Andrew Cuomo is likely to succeed him. But it ain't over yet. Ethics charges, as well as some highly personal things, are slowly coming out, and the chief of the state police has also resigned in New York. It wouldn't surprise me if David Patterson leaves office before his term is out.
So you're saying Patterson's out long before health care reform gets approved?
Exactly. I'm making a lot of predictions today.
John, fascinating as always. We'll talk again next week. Thanks for your time.
Looking forward to seeing my prophecy vindicated and then making more, if I'm right. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
Oh, we'll want them whether you're right or not. John Gizzi, political editor of Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.